James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, 7. Amos chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Seek good and not evil. Hate evil and love the good. Amos 5, 14 and 15. Hebrews 13, 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13, 6. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. You see this verse on the screen before you, and you also see it on the back of our bulletin today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 15, verse 33. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to open our minds and hearts to the wonderful Word of God. God's Word is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of receiving the magnificent message of God's Word, and we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 and 34. We'll be looking at these two verses today. To receive God's Word properly, we all understand that we have to be in fellowship with our Lord, in harmony with Him, so that we will be able to receive the wonderful ministry of the grace system of comprehension. Grace system of comprehension simply means that when we admit our faults and failures and sins, ask God to forgive us, then we are in fellowship with our Lord. When we're in fellowship with our Lord, it makes it possible for us then to be able to be the recipient of that system of grace, which is the system that makes it possible for us to comprehend the wonderful Word of God. So we'll spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our reading today. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we know that heaven is our eternal home, not because we're worthy of this great gift, but because we've accepted the love of God through Jesus Christ, who was willing to leave heaven's glory and go to the earth and die on the cross for the sins of mankind. Today we have that assurance that heaven is our home. We'll not be here on the earth very long at the longest, and so we pray that we will realize the importance of keeping our priorities straight. Help us to keep our focus clear. Help us to know that you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And while we're here, help us to fulfill that magnificent and wonderful plan. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin our reading with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll look at verse 28. And when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29, otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why are we also in danger every hour? Verse 31, I protest, brethren, by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives, verse 32, I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Verse 34, become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I'm sure that you're able to see that that was an unusual passage of Scripture that I read. I need to let you know that the writing here is by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. The emphasis that we have in this passage of Scripture is on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were those who in the Corinthian church who were doubting the resurrection. And the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul, there are some things that you need to know. And that is, you need to know that Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, came to this earth as the God-man, the incarnate Christ, and was willing to go to the cross and die for the sins of mankind. That includes every person in this auditorium today. It includes every person who's ever been born and who will ever be born. What is interesting is that you and I must realize that our time on the earth is extremely short, even at the longest. No matter what your age is, however young or old you may be, we're all aware of the fact that the heart, one of these days, is going to stop beating. We're going to stop breathing. We're going to leave this life, and we're going to be absent from this body, and we'll be with our Lord if we know Him as our personal Savior. God's plan is for us to be advanced believers, mature believers. The verse of Scripture that you see on the screen is a powerful one. We'll be looking at it more in detail in just a few moments. But I want to put something on the screen now to help all of us, and you may want to take these notes. It's also in the insert in your bulletin, so you don't have to take notes. It's possible for you just to open the bulletin and see that the title there is Maturity. And so, if you will, just take that little sheet out, and let's look at it while I put this on the screen for you. Last Wednesday night, we had fun when we looked at this material, and I didn't realize it while I was doing it, when the whole service was over, someone came and told me that I had misspelled a word. And the word was number 4, where it says dependability. I had dependability. And some of you may have noticed it. Some of you did not, but one person was kind enough to let me know that I had said something that was unusual and funny, and he laughed during the sermon. I didn't know he was laughing during the sermon, but dependability instead of dependability. Okay, with that little funny in mind, let me take you to the first point here. What I've done is that I've added a word to number 1, where it says retain and maintain divine viewpoint. I put in my new notes, attain, retain, and maintain divine viewpoint. I'm going to spend a few moments there and let you see what I'm trying to get over. We have an emphasis here upon each one of us as born-again believers. We have the responsibility of attaining divine viewpoint. We have the responsibility of retaining divine viewpoint. And we have the responsibility of maintaining divine viewpoint. So I believe it's important for me to add that other word, attain, then retain, and maintain. Divine viewpoint simply means that we're able to see as God sees, see from a vertical viewpoint and not from a horizontal viewpoint. And the Scripture definitely teaches us that we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. When you go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Those two passages of Scripture, 2 Peter 3, 18, and Philippians 2, 5, tells us that we have the responsibility of attaining, retaining, and maintaining divine viewpoint. Number 2, as you can see on the screen and on the bulletin insert, ability to eliminate satanic viewpoint. This simply means that you and I, as we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, will have the ability to eliminate satanic thoughts, satanic viewpoint. We are dealing in these days with the subject of the devil. We're going to be looking at that in more detail in just a few moments. But you and I have the responsibility of receiving divine viewpoint, vertical viewpoint, and not satanic or horizontal viewpoint. We're bombarded every single day as we live with horizontal, human, satanic viewpoint. We have to make a decision on a daily basis as believers whether we're going to be saturated with evil. That's what it means when you see the title of the message today, SWE, saturated with evil. That's the reason I put that in. We have to make a decision every single day whether we're going to allow the Lord Jesus Christ in His words to captivate our lives, to motivate us, to direct us, or if we're going to just play it easy, not pay any attention to what God's Word has to say. And then what's going to happen is we're going to be bombarded with all the satanic horizontal viewpoint that's out there on the radio, on television, newspaper, your friends, wherever you go, you're going to be bombarded with satanic horizontal viewpoint. But as we grow, our maturity will give us the ability to eliminate a lot of the satanic viewpoint. Number three, we're to live in peace with what we cannot change. We must live in peace with what we cannot change. There are many things that happen to us in life we cannot change. These things are going to happen, and we cannot change them, but we have the responsibility of having the proper attitude toward those things which we cannot change. God desires that we have a right attitude. And so the point three is, live in peace with what we cannot change. Number four, dependability. In other words, you and I as believers have the responsibility of keeping our promises. If we say to someone we're going to do something, let's do it. Let's keep our word. Number five, follow through on clear-cut decisions. You and I make decisions every day. And as we make these decisions, let's make right decisions. And then let's follow through on these clear-cut decisions. Number six is the word humility, which means a willingness to admit failure. All of us fail. We all have sinful natures. There's not a person in this auditorium today who has not sinned against God many times, oftentimes every day. And we have to admit our faults and failures and sins and ask for forgiveness and then move on. Don't do anything other than just accept the fact that God does forgive. Have humility about it. Be willing to admit failure and move on. Number seven, face unpleasantness, frustration, discomfort, defeat, without complaint or collapse. Now, I know that number seven is a long sentence, but let's look at it for just a few moments. We are facing in life things that are unpleasant. We are facing in life things that are frustrating. There are times when we are discomforted by the circumstances in which we find ourselves. We may find ourselves somewhat defeated. But what God wants is for us not to be whiners, running around complaining all the time, pushing panic buttons, falling apart. We must realize that we can face the unpleasant circumstances of life, the frustrations of life, the discomforts of life, the defeats in life, and we don't have to do it with complaint or collapse. Number eight, perseverance. In spite of setbacks, keep going. One of the challenges that all of us have in this auditorium today is whatever may have happened to us in the last few weeks, the last few months, the last few years, we must realize that in spite of the setbacks, we're now responsible for going on faithfully and being faithful and true to the Lord. Number nine, consider long-term gain over short-term pleasures. Man, I could talk a long time on this one. But you don't want to hear me talk a long time on this one because I have other things I need to say. Consider long-term gain over short-term pleasures. We're faced every day with the possibility of short-term pleasures. But we need to take a look at these short-term pleasures in the light of long-term gain. That's all I'm going to say. And number 10, this is an emphasis upon control in your life and mine. We have the responsibility of settling differences without violence or destruction. Now, you have it in the bulletin, so you don't need me to spend any more time on that particular emphasis. I do want you to look with me very briefly at our verse, and then we're going to give you some more information. If you'll take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:33, which is on the back of your bulletin today, it starts off with, "Be not deceived." This is a beautiful command. If you'll notice, it is a verb in the imperative mood. I'm just turning through some of my pages because I'm not going to be able to give you everything that I want to in this first session. But I will emphasize the fact that the word deceive there is the word which means to be misguided. It means to go astray. It means to wander. It means to roam. It means to be led in error. It means to be led from the path of virtue. Be not deceived. The Greek word is the word planao, P-L-A-N-A-O, planao. Would you look at me with me for just a moment to see what we have here? I've already said that the word is planao, P-L-A-N-A-O. I've already said that the word means deceived, but let's look at it. It is a word in the present tense, which means continuous action. It's an imperative verb. The IMP stands for the fact that this is a command from the original language. And also, you will notice that it is a middle voice. Many, many times I've emphasized the middle voice. The middle voice emphasizes two different things. One is, it means that a person is benefited if the situation is positive. It is saying that the person is not benefited if the situation is negative. In other words, this says, be not deceived. Immediately my mind says, this is saying that if I'm deceived, it's not going to be beneficial. It says, on the other hand, if I'm not deceived, it's going to be beneficial. Do you see how that fits? So it says, be not deceived. Now, let's go to the next word. It is the word evil. Now, I need to show you something. I think I have it here somewhere. Oh, yes. Just happen to have all this information so that you can look at it. Take a look at those letters. K-A-K-A-I, which comes from K-A-K-O-S. All right? Now, stay with me for a little bit. Look at that word. It's translated evil. We've been talking about evil. What is evil? I'll put it on the screen for you to see. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. Now, most of you have already seen this many times, and you've already taken this definition down. But let's look at it. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. Now, if you'll look at this transparency that's on the screen before you, you will see that in the New Testament there are three words that we've emphasized for evil. The first one that I just mentioned a few moments ago, K-A-K-O-S, is the word that's used in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Another word that's used in the New Testament is poneros, which is the Greek word P-O-N-E-R-O-S. The third word that we have on the screen is the word evil. It is phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Now, if you can't read from where you're sitting these definitions, let me explain. The first one, which we have in our verse today, evil, kakos, means opposed to the goodness of the character of God. Opposed to God's good character. Opposed to goodness of character of God. The second one, panoros, means opposed to divine viewpoint. We're studying divine viewpoint and satanic viewpoint. The third one, which is phallos, is the Greek word from which we get our English word dung or excrement. A few other words could be used, but I will not use that. I just want you to know that phallos means opposed to the things that are divine good. And so we have on the one hand, divine good, which is agathos, God's good, God's intrinsic good. Now, let's look at it just quickly again. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth both in belief and behavior. Now keep that in mind and let me put something else on the screen for you to see. Have any of you ever sinned? Okay. I don't want you to answer that out loud because I know that all of us have. What is sin? I've just been talking about evil. What is sin? Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and the integrity of God. This is a beautiful statement and so pungent and powerful. What is sin? Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt violation. It's an overt act that violates the standards and the integrity of God. I want to remind you that over the past days, my mind has worked diligently on the subject of sin and evil. And you remember that the verses of Scripture we gave you last Sunday and last Wednesday night, we looked at Mark 7, 21 and Mark 7, 23. And I told you that in between those two verses, there was a list of fornication, adultery, stealing, a lot of different things. And it's been bothering me because I felt like that I wasn't getting over something. And so, thinking about this and being able to see it, I believe I'm able now to tell you a little bit more. Because I've emphasized the fact that there's a difference between sin on the one hand and evil on the other hand. And I told you that when Christ died on the cross, He died for sin, but He didn't die for evil. You remember that? And because evil on the one hand is satanic thinking. On the other hand, sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. And there's a closeness between sin and evil. And this has somewhat bothered me because I felt like I wasn't really being able to properly explain what I was trying to get over. Now that always bugs a preacher when he has a desire to present something and he somehow feels like it's not getting through. But here it is. I want you to get a mental picture of a conduit. Thank you, Doreen. A conduit. And let's put into this conduit all kinds of sins moving along. We'll just mix these in water so you can see it moving along. And as I see this, I want you to follow my thinking here. We have sin moving down through this conduit. And somehow, I want you to see that the water that is starting out here clear at the beginning becomes a little bit more polluted and filthy and more polluted as it moves along. And somehow, way down there, that sin begins to become so polluted that it is not only sin, but it is evil. Did I say it okay? We've been discussing this. And I want you to know that that somehow clears it up in my thinking. What is sin? Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. On the other hand, evil is satanic thinking. And oftentimes, listen to me now, sin, disobedience to God, whether it is mental, verbal, overt, can roll on down that conduit until it becomes so polluted that it actually becomes satanic thinking and evil. Now, that will help us to throw another wrench in the flywheel. What about good? Good activities. The things we do that are good. If we're in harmony and in fellowship with the Lord and do good, God is pleased. If we're doing good activities and we're not in harmony with God, we're not in fellowship with God, then it is not pleasing to God, which is called human good. All right. What is human good? Human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, is this taxing your brain today? Is this a little too much for you? No. Human good can be done in fellowship, or good can be done out of fellowship. If good is done in fellowship, God is pleased. If good is done out of harmony, out of fellowship, it is not good to God. It adds up to zero to God. So what then is human good? Human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from being in harmony, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can see how fantastic all of this information is and how important it is for us. Now let's move away again from the subject of sin and human good back to the subject of evil. What is evil? You might want to write this one down. Evil is the purpose, the policy, and the modus operandi of Satan. Now let me come back and show you something. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for sin. He did not die for evil. Evil is the policy, the purpose, and the modus operandi of Satan. Evil is satanic thinking. Now, if you've listened carefully up to this point, you're now going to be able to see why I said Jesus Christ died for sin, but he didn't die for evil. The reason that he died for sin was because sin was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. He died, was buried, rose again, came forth out of the grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. Got that? On the other hand, evil is satanic thinking. The only way that you and I will be able to get rid of satanic thinking is to get a different type of thinking. Christ did not die for satanic thinking. He died for sin. If we as believers, when we realize that we have been falling down through that conduit of sin, that it has become so polluted that it has now turned the colors from clear to gray to black, and now it is satanic thinking, what we have to do is get rid of satanic thinking by getting a different style of thinking. And the only way to get rid of satanic thinking is to get the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads to maturity, and that's what I said at the beginning. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever." And Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, what have we said? We have said that God desires that we be mature. And we must realize, as we look at our scripture, which is 1 Corinthians 15, 33. I'm going to put it on the screen for you, and we'll look at it again for the next few moments. Be not deceived. Don't be deceived. This is God speaking through the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians about the subject of the resurrection. But I'm taking it today to say that this is applicable to us today. Don't be deceived. You'll not be benefited if you're deceived. You will be benefited if you're not deceived. And then it goes on to say, evil communications. Boy, did I have fun when I got into that. Let me show you what I found. What does it mean when it says evil communications? The Greek word communication here is homiliai. Homologia. Interesting. It means close contact. Being together with individuals. Contact with evil-minded people. People who hold erroneous views or erroneous opinions. Now, do you see what that's saying to us? It is saying that we have a responsibility of staying away from evil. Because evil comes in many different forms. It comes oftentimes by being in contact with evil-minded people. People who hold erroneous views, who hold erroneous viewpoints and opinions. Don't be deceived, it says. It's a command. Evil communications. And now let's look at the rest of the verse. Corrupt good manners. Corrupt good morals. You might want to check this verse out sometime to see how different translations present it. The word corrupt is an interesting one. It is the Greek word P-H-T-H-E-I-R-O. I'm always amazed when I find Greek words that have letters like this. P-H-T-H. And the question that always comes to my mind is, how are you going to pronounce that word? You have to almost spit on people. But the word corrupt means waste away. It means spoil. It means to destroy. It means rotten. It means degenerate. It means deprave. It means to ruin. The German translation of this verse goes like this. We have to understand not to make a mistake. You all not mistake. Bad contacts. And then in parentheses from the German translation, bad contacts means associations, acquaintances. So the German translation says, y'all not mistake. In other words, don't make mistake. In other words, it's a powerful word. It's an imperative verb, a command. Don't make mistakes. Bad contacts, bad associations, bad acquaintances. Spoil, spoils, good morals. When I was thinking about this, I jotted at the bottom of this page a couple sentences. Listen to this one. We have less horror of vice by becoming familiar with it. Now, you're going to have to let that sink in. We have less horror of vice by becoming familiar with it. That reminds me of that old story about taking a pot of hot water and dropping a frog in it and then turning the heat up. And the heat goes up and the frog stays in the water. And after a while, the frog is cooked. That's one side of the story. The other is to get a pot of water, have it boiling, and grab that frog and throw it in, and man, immediately that frog jumps out. I mean, he doesn't like it at all. If we get in with those things that are not good, if we become enamored and entangled with those things that are not good, after a while we'll become so familiar with it that it's not even horrifying to us. It's the same thing that you and I must see when we turn on the television. You remember years ago when we turned on the television and we saw something and it just alarmed us. And we thought, oh, how awful and how sinful and how bad and how degrading that is. And you know what we do now? We turn on the television and we see this, whatever it is, however horrible it may be, and we just sit there and enjoy it. We just take it all in, don't we? That's the same thing as being a frog inside the water that just gets up a little temperature at a time until it's real, real hot and we're cooked. That's the reason I wrote that sentence. We have less horror of that which is bad, vice, when we become familiar with it. We look with less alarm on error when it's expressed over and over many times. We become less watchful and we become less cautious when we keep company with the unprincipled people or the undisciplined individuals. You see how powerful this verse is? Wow. Now, do you realize that I have another verse? Verse 34. Let me put it up here and we'll see where we're going to go in the next session. Some of you are saying, I don't want any more of that. 1 Corinthians 15:33, I've had enough. Reminds me of that Negro church where the preacher just got up and preached, and oh man, he got wild. He was really preaching. And when the service was over, he stood at the back or the front, shaking hands with the people. And a lady came by with her little son. And the lady was wanting to be complimentary of the preacher's sermon. And the pastor said, well, how are you today? And she said, oh, I just enjoyed the sermon so much. It was just outstanding. It was wonderful. I just got filled right up in here. And the preacher looked down at the son and he said, son, what do you think about it? And he said, well, I got my belly full of it too. Did y'all get that? That was a joke. Verse 34, awake, become awake, be sober to righteousness, and don't practice sinning, for you have to understand that there are some who do not have an awareness, an acquaintance with God. They're ignorant, and I speak to their shame. We'll be in that verse after the break. During the break, if you'll do whatever you need to do and get on back in here, Dennis will be playing, and you'll get to hear him play before the second Bible class. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful today for your grace and for the challenge of these magnificent verses of Scripture, and specifically this one. Help us to realize, if we're not careful, we can be saturated, totally saturated with evil. May that not be our case. May we determine in our hearts that we're going to love the Lord and love His Word, receive spiritual truths for our souls, that we might have a happy, radiant, abundant, fruitful, victorious life. And for those who hear this message by way of the internet who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to see today that the greatest decision that they would ever make in life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, that's Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. We know that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone, and so we pray that there will be those who will trust You even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.